We certainly have enjoyed the singing and the preaching thus far. We still got some singing going on in the house this morning. We enjoyed the day yesterday. I forgot to make mention. I made mention that we went to Faith yesterday and enjoyed being with them and got to spend the day with Brother Virgil. And what a blessing it was to be able to discuss the scriptures with him as we traveled to and from the meeting and discuss the other things that are heavy on our hearts and minds. We just count it a great privilege to enjoy that time with him. And Brother Virgil is very encouraging to me, and he's very complimentary of the household of faith here at Macedonia. And the reason why I say that is he loves to tell me about what the church here has meant to him. And what I try to tell him from time to time is how much the church has enjoyed he and Sister Carol being here with us and being a part here with us and coming and worshiping with us. I love to hear Brother Virgil preach those doctrines of grace and believe that he sees the things of the scriptures the same way that we try to teach them to you and the way that we try to worship the Lord in the truth. And we're thankful for that. I want to read one verse to you this morning and try to bring forth some thoughts to you. John chapter 4, verse 29 is what I want to read to you. And of course, this verse takes place in the midst of a communication and dialogue that took place between the Lord and a Samaritan woman. And I got to thinking as this verse was heavy on our minds this morning that I probably mentioned this account more than I mentioned any certain place in Scripture, not coming here specifically to preach, but mentioning it as a support text or one reason or another. And sometimes you wonder why. Why do certain places in the Scriptures draw your attention to them? And every time I read through this account, it touches my soul. Every time I see this communication that takes place between the Lord and this woman. See, this woman is an outsider. She's not from within. You know, a lot of the ones that Jesus came into communication with and that Jesus sent his apostles to, they were born Jewish. They were born the ones that the Lord told his apostles to go to. And he told them not to enter into the city of the Samaritans, but rather to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent them to the Jews. He sent them to the ones that were part of the family that was within. But here he's communicating with one that's not from within. He's communicating with one that's without. Well, I want to tell you, she may have been without from her standing as far as what she was born into naturally. But I want to tell you, she was from within as far as the family that she had been born into at some point in time prior to this account. She was a child of the living God. And the Lord had come and had crossed paths with her. And he had met her at a well. He gave her three commandments while he met with her at this well. The first thing he told her to do was to give him some water. The second thing he told her to do was to go and to get thy husband. And the third thing that he told her to do is he said, believe me. Believe me. That's what the Lord told this woman to do is he said, you believe me.
Yeah.
You know, he told his apostles the same thing. He said, ye believe in God. Believe also in me is what he told his apostles in John chapter 14 verse 1. No one can read through the scriptures and not come to the conclusion that something's important about our beliefs and about the conclusions we draw and about what we profess to believe. It begins from the onset in John chapter 1 when the scripture says he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, from the onset of the gospel according to John, the Scripture tells us that the Lord, whoever believes on the Lord, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That means when they believe, they become a child of God. I'm making sure I got your attention this morning. I better still have it. The oxen of the group better caught that. And you say, well, Brother Will, that's some distraction. No, you better caught that. Somebody might not better say this when I'm standing and you not say, hold on a second, Brother Will. But to as many received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I want to tell you, He follows that up immediately when the thought may enter our mind that upon belief we become children of God. He says, which were born. And in other words, they were already born of something before they believed. Which were born, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, not of blood, but of God. Yeah. The ones who believe are the ones who are already born of God. And those who believe, the Lord gives power to manifest that they are the sons of God. All the power that comes through the belief in the truth. Oh, the Lord gives you some strength and some power whenever you acknowledge and believe that indeed that the things that the Lord teaches us are true and yea and amen. You know, from the onset of that, you go to John chapter 2 and the Scripture tells us that He turned water into wine and that He did His first miracle there in Cana of Galilee. And at the conclusion of it, the Scripture tells us that whenever they saw those miracles which He did, they believed on His name. Oh, the miracles that He did. You say, Brother Will, we don't get to see any miracles today. We don't have anything to believe. You know, we got a video at the house that, I don't know if I'll get back to John chapter 4 or not. I may get to it at the close with some thoughts I got. You know, a man can get wound up when he hears a lot of preaching. And I heard a lot of preaching last week and I got wound up. You know, I told the brethren last week that I'm thankful I was here last Sunday, but if there's another place where I'd like to have been, it was up at Dunlap where Brother Virgil was, because he was eating that preaching up so much last weekend. I said, I know he was wound up when he got to Tennessee this morning. I know he was. Wanted to hear it. But whenever you see, we got a video at the house that we started watching on the Genesis account of creation. We turned it on Friday night and we watched a little bit of it. You know, we sort of, I guess you could say, oversensitized our children to be prepared whenever someone mentions creation or mentions the origins of this world to kind of automatically listen clear to what they're saying, because we don't believe it like everybody else does. And bless his heart, the narrator of the video began to speak and to lay out his case for what they were fixing to teach about creation. And he started mentioning billions of years and billions and billions of years. And one of my children, I'm not going to tell you which one up here, but I'll tell you in private, or I'll let them tell you which one it was. Immediately, whenever they heard that, they said, I don't want to watch this. This guy speaks out. I said, give him a minute. He's not here to make a case for the billions of years. He's just telling you what some people say about it. He's on our team, if you will. They were like those apostles that came to Jesus and said, we saw those casting out devils not in your name. And we rebuked them. And the Lord said, hold on a minute now. He did not, is not against us, it's for us. Slow down just a minute. He's on our team. I'll tell you, he may not be on our team as far as the truth of salvation is concerned. But I tell you, if he sees creation like I do, I'll watch a video he presents. And I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Tell you, you can see the miracles of God. They can take you to the Grand Canyon. You can see the strata in the soil. You can see a miracle from on high that he stormed down judgment upon this earth. And that the clouds were opened up. And the floodwaters came. And you can still witness the miracles of the Almighty today. You can still see that His Word is true. And in believing it, there's power in that belief. I want to tell you, the reason why we can't struggle with the things that we see about our Lord in the Word of God, the reason why whenever we see that He performs certain miracles is look at all the other things that He did and we believe them all. We believe them all. There's not something that the Scriptures tell us that our Lord did. And if there is, you talk to me about it this morning. You say, I know that the Scripture tells me that He did this, but I don't believe that He did it. And I promise you, I want to do every ounce of energy I have within myself to show you that if the Scripture says that Jesus did it, Jesus did it. Because whenever we believe those things, we not only believe the things that Jesus did, But when we believe what he did, then we can trust and have confidence in what he says he will do. You know, if you struggle at the things he says he did, you're going to struggle at what the promises says that he will do. I want to tell you, he's given us some promises about what he will do. You know, to the mourning pilgrim who's not conformed to this world. He says, is it possible for a person to be a child of God and be conformed? Well, if it's not, then Paul wasted some ink. Because he said, be not conformed to this world. And if it wasn't possible for you to be conformed to this world, why would he tell you not to do it? You can be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, is what he says. To the one that just feels like they are not conformed, that they're different. I want to tell you about a promise from the Almighty, is that praise be unto the Lord that this is not our final resting place. If you're not conformed to this world, if you don't feel to be at home in this world, I want to tell you about a promise from the Almighty that He's coming and He's going to take you home to a place where you'll be satisfied forever. That's a promise. And if you'll believe all the things which Jesus did, you'll believe all the things that He says He will do. And you'll be empowered through that belief. There's power in belief in the truth. To them, but as to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And in believing, you manifested indeed, Jesus is my Father, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm just His little child. But I want to tell you, there's power in it.
Yeah.
Tell you, there's power in belief of the truth.
Amen.
And when they saw the miracles which Jesus did, many believed on His name. I want to tell you the truth about what Jesus did and the truth about what Jesus is doing. It needs to be preached today. We need to continue to establish the Lord's little lambs in it so that they can believe in the things that the Lord has done for them. I want to tell you, the Lord's done some things for you. The Lord, if you have a hope in your heart that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you it's because He did something for you long before you were ever even thought about in the eyes of men. You know, there's not a point in time that you can point to and say, I wasn't thought about in the eyes of God. I'm going to tell you, He thought about you from eternity past. You hear me? He thought about you before He ever formed this world. He thought about you long before you ever were conceived in your mother's womb. He thought about you and loved you way yonder long ago. He's done some things for you. And I want to tell you, because the Scripture says He's done those things for you, you can believe in Him. And in believing, there's power in His name. I want to tell you, that same power that existed then whenever He preached, I know I can't stand there and I can't cast out a devil in your eyes. I can't take a man that's lame of his feet. And I can't make him walk again. I can't make the blind receive sight. I can't make the deaf hear. But I want to tell you, Jesus is still working among the saints of the Lord. And you can believe in that truth. And you can be empowered in the things that the Lord has done for you. I want to tell you, whenever you see what Jesus is capable of, what obstacle lays in your way in this time world that He can't bless you to be able to overcome, that He can't be with you, and that He can't guide and lead you, and He can't tackle the problems that stand before you? I'm going to tell you, I got problems that I can't tackle. I'm going to tell you, I see things that are discouraging to me, and I know there's nothing that I can do about it. I see the conditions of some ways and things, and I'm not going to be specific about it, but I'm going to tell you, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And there may be some things and times that whenever the Lord will bless me to be able to do something about it. But, you know, there's some things that by becoming too involved, you'll mess it up. You'll mess it up. You know, if you ever try to exercise aid or authority before it's extended to you, sometimes you'll make more of a mess than what was there before you got there. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things that I observe that are too big for me. But I'm going to tell you, they're not too big for my Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I believe in Him. And because I can believe in Him, I can pour Him out at His feet and I can say, Lord, if it be Thy will, Thou can solve it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go back to tackling the things that Thou hast blessed me to be able to know that You've placed in my grasp and responsibility that through Thee I can accomplish. And I tell you, there's power in belief in His name. You come to John chapter 3, belief. Here's Nicodemus, comes to Jesus by night and says, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. That's what Nicodemus said. He believed in the Lord. Whenever he showed up, he just didn't believe everything about the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, our Lord is a teacher sent from heaven, but He's not just a teacher. Our Lord is a prophet, but He's not just a prophet. our Lord is a son, but he's not just a son. I want to tell you, he's all those things encompassed into one. And one of the things that Jesus gave unto him was consolation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The importance of belief. Consolation to the sinner. You believe in the Lord this morning? I'm not telling you that by belief in him that you'll gain glory. I want to tell you that by belief in him is evidence that glory is your home. He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior this morning, you're going home to be with him in glory. You can trust that hope and that faith that is within you. You can lean upon it and you can depend upon it. The Lord is not, he's not fooling you with it. It's in there for a reason. I tell you, the importance of belief is it's consolation to the sinner. It's consolation to the one that says, surely, surely that place is not my home. Surely I'm too rotten of a sinner for Jesus to love me. Surely there's nothing that I can do that would be pleasing in his sight. And amen and amen and amen. But I'm going to tell you, you can believe in one that even though you couldn't do anything, did everything. And because of that he did, heaven's your home. You hear me? John chapter 5, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he hath everlasting life. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. You know, somebody will tell me that, yeah, sure, well, yeah, they have to believe in order to be able to go. What happens if they believe today and it's gone tomorrow? Because I'm going to tell you, I can point to some in God's Word that they believe one day, and the Scripture says that they have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. In other words, they forgot what they were in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you mean to tell me that they had everlasting life at one point in time, and they lost that everlasting life whenever they lost their confidence and trust in the Lord? Most of them will say no. But I tell you, if you can lose this life, then it never was everlasting life, was it? But because it was everlasting whenever the Lord gave it to you, you will never lose it. It is something that he gave you. It is something that you can trust in. It is something that you can depend upon. It is there forever. That life up there, it has no time. You know, everything here in our world today revolves around a clock. Unless you're in my house, whenever it's time to leave, and go somewhere in the morning, and then all of a sudden, nobody's got a clock. My house, I'm the only one that runs that way. And that is that, you know, everything else we do is according to the clock. We go to bed according to the clock. We do this and that according to the clock. But because we say that you've got 15 minutes to get in that car before we need to leave, everybody forgets about time, some time during that time of 15 minutes. Time means nothing anymore. It's just forgotten. Well, it's never forgotten. Everything that we do in this world, it revolves around time and clock. But I want to tell you, whenever we get to glory, and you know, there's sometimes whenever I'm enjoying things with my family, and you know, I don't want it to end. I don't want it to stop. And it's not that I despise my job. It doesn't mean that I despise whatever it is that comes next that's going to pull me away from them. It just means that I want to keep enjoying whatever it is I'm doing at that present time. You know, there's sometimes whenever we're in the midst of the assembly of the saints, and I know the preacher's looking at the time, and I know the mamas that are wrestling with babies are looking at the time, and I know that they're just like thinking, to be sure he's going to get done pretty soon because I'm worn out. But I will tell you, us often that are over there feeding on the preaching of the gospel of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just want to keep him preaching. We just want to say, keep telling me again and again and again about the things in which the Lord has done for me. I don't want it to end. But I want to tell you, whenever you're in glory, the things that you enjoy and are most precious to you, there will be no end to those things. You'll be in a place that is eternal and everlasting. And he gave you that life, and that life that abides in you, it'll be there forever. You'll be in glory forever. Believest thou these things? And I pray you do. There's power in it. I can endure the trials of life knowing that they're just temporary. The things that trouble us here, the afflictions of the flesh and the challenges that we face, it's just temporary. Whenever we're over in glory, they won't be there. Believest thou these things? I want to tell you, there's power in them because you can look at them and you can see beyond. You know, sometimes if you can just see beyond what lies before you, you can press through in order to be able to endure it. But sometimes the challenge just seems overmounting. You can't see beyond it. But let me tell you something. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see past the challenges of life. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I tell you, those saints of those days, they needed that power. Whenever they professed to believe in the Lord, whenever they professed to want to leave Judaism and follow Him, they faced a multitude of challenges because they wanted to do so. They had to go to the family members that still wanted to worship under a law system. And not only, you ever notice that whenever you want to do what's right, all of a sudden, everybody doesn't just want to do right what they thought to be right. Hold on a second, let me straighten that comment out. You ever notice that whenever you want to do what's right in the eyes of God, that not only do the ones who you used to walk with and whatever that walk used to be want to continue to do what they were doing, they all of a sudden become overly concerned about the walk that you're in. In other words, they don't want to just continue to do the things that you used to do. They're upset that you're not going to continue to do the things that you used to do. They're upset about it. They're not going to let you leave easy, if you will. They're going to keep you in that path that you were in. And we see that happen over and over. I want to tell you, in the days of the Jews, the same thing happened. They needed the power that was given unto them upon their belief. And Scripture says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God and manifest who they were. You know, become doesn't mean make whenever you read it in Scripture every time. It's the same word that's translated. And I don't mean to go to Greek every time, but it's the same word that is translated to appear. In other words, it's something that's not just made something. It's something that becomes manifest, that you begin to see. It's like Paul told Titus whenever he wrote unto him, and he said, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In other words, you speak the things which manifest sound doctrine, not make it sound. You know, I can't make and produce sound doctrine. If I make and produce anything, it's not going to be sound. If a man makes and produces anything, it's going to be mocked. But I want to tell you, whenever the Lord gave us doctrine, it doesn't need to be made anymore. What it needs to be done is it needs to be preached so that the sound doctrine will be manifest to the saints of God. I'll tell you about belief in the book of John. Go to John chapter 6. They asked Jesus a question. So you see that belief gives you power. Belief gives you consolation. Belief is a work. Belief is a work. John chapter 6, they asked Jesus a question. And they said, what might we do that we might work the works of God? They asked Him, what do we need to do? I'm going to tell you by definition, I cannot tell you that you need to do anything and then turn around and tell you that what you're doing is not a work. Do we understand that this morning? This afternoon now, by 3 minutes. This afternoon now. That if I tell you to do it, that it is by definition something that is not going to get done unless you do it. And by definition, that is a work. That is a work. He said, what might we do that we might work the works of God? And the Lord said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him and whom He has sent. I tell you. It says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. They received Him because they were willing to do it, because they did it. I want to tell you, we didn't receive Him in our hearts in the new birth because we did it. He's in our hearts by new birth because He planted Himself there. But when you receive Him and believe in Him, it is an act and an action that a person does. And the only people that can do it are the ones that already have been given life.
Yeah.
Already been given life. John chapter 7. You say, Brother Will, there's 21 chapters in the book of John. I ain't going all the way through them. I'm just going to make my point. John chapter 7. In case we come to the conclusion that it's upon belief that we're made to be children. One of the things that you'll read in John chapter 7 is that whenever they got ready to go down to Jerusalem for the feast, they desired of the Lord, those apostles desired of the Lord, that He would go openly with them down to that feast, to the Jewry. And the reason why they desired of Him to go openly with them, and they told Him, said, no thing is done in secret, He said, because even His brethren did not believe in Him.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's kind of troubling. If you can't have life until you believe, then you mean tell me He's got apostles that have left all and have followed Him, and that He's given authority to preach a gospel, and yet they still don't have life? That's not going to add up, is it?
Yeah.
But whenever you go to John chapter 7 and you see that even his brethren did not believe in him, it meant that they still had their doubts in the back of their mind. Truly, is this the man that he says that he is? There were doubts there.
Yep.
There was life there. There's doubts there.
True.
And no man can claim today that there's not times of doubt in our life. There's times of trials, just like John the Baptist faced, who baptized Jesus, who heard the thunder cloud from heaven. And he heard the voice come down from heaven, and he saw the dove descending upon Jesus Christ as he baptized him. But yet he, because of a trial, he said, "Art thou he, or should we ask for another?" Even he, in the midst of a trial. Well, I tell you, these apostles were facing it because they were following this one that had drawn so much attention to him. They were facing the trials. They even doubted and said, "Do some more so that we can see the evidence." Even they didn't believe on him. You go to John chapter 8. You can see that whenever the scripture says that whenever he spake unto them, that many believed on his name, and he cried unto them which believed in him. And he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Belief is about discipleship. In order to be a disciplined soldier in the army of the living God, you got to believe in the general of the army, don't you? You know, sometimes because of one reason or another, I don't believe that an army would be too effective if the soldiers that were fighting in the army didn't have confidence and believe in the authority that the general had whenever he gave them the orders. You know, I think our condition today has brought us to several conclusions that simply won't add up when it comes to certain analogies in the scripture. You know, whenever you read the books on the Revolutionary War and you see what the sentence was because someone deserted their post or someone spoke ill of the general and didn't obey an order, the sentence was pretty true. It's pretty real. In other words, they were put before a firing squad or they were hanged upon a gallows. It's very serious. Well, whenever we consider what we are in the army of the living God, you can better well believe that it's pretty serious whenever we don't trust in the one that we're supposed to be following. Belief. Man, you can go right on. And I could go right on. Because these things edify us and these things are true in regards to belief. I want to tell you, Jesus told this Samaritan woman, "Believe me." And upon that pronunciation and that commandment to her, he began to teach her in regards to what true worship was. And at the conclusion of the conversation, she says in verse 29, "Come see a man. Told me all things that I ever did."
Yeah.
Is not this the Christ? Sending with a question mark. But you know, she wasn't questioning whether or not it was him. And her comment about, "Is not this the Christ?" You know, there's times whenever you ask questions and saying, Is this not it? Is this not it? In other words, it's a statement of fact. Is this not the Christ? You know, in all those chapters I just mentioned, I didn't mention John chapter 4 where the Lord says, "Believe me," but I want to tell you what the scripture tells us is that whenever she went into the city and she cried that statement unto the men. And that's what I was going to preach on this morning, but I'm not. Maybe the Lord bless me to be here sometime. I'll preach on the Samaritan woman again, and I want to speak on the testimony of the Samaritan woman. "Come see a man that's told me all things I ever did." Yeah. It's not just the Christ. Her testimony. There's so many things that are given in that statement. It's much more than the statement. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and you say, "There's more in that statement than just the words. There's something more there." There's something more in that statement. And I want to tell you, the scripture tells us that those that she cried this statement unto, you can go a little bit later on in the chapter and start with verse 39 and you can read where they believed upon the testimony of this woman. They believed in Jesus. You believe in him this morning? I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go to the streets of downtown Cartersville in order to be able to have an effect upon those that are around you because you believe in it. I believe you've got some right up under you at times that need to know just how much mamas, daddies, and brethren and sisters in our own homes that we believe in the Lord. that we believe what He says, that we believe His Word, that we take His Word literally.
Amen.
Literally. And that's the type of belief that the Lord is talking about whenever He says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I want to tell you, I believe in the power of the Almighty. I believe that they received it then. I believe that we can receive it now. I believe that power is confidence. It's not an air of pride. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that because I speak it with joy, and I pray that that's the way you receive my excitement about this certain subject. It's not an air of pride. I want to tell you what it is the same statement that the Apostle Paul made whenever he said that whosoever believeth in me shall not be ashamed. In other words, but confident in the Lord, but not ashamed in the Lord. You ashamed of the Lord this morning? You ashamed of the testimony of His Word? You know, I was reading someone's write-up the other day about themselves and what they them describing themselves. And I knew where they attended meeting, and they didn't put that they attended a Primitive Baptist church. It's almost like they wanted to tell everything about themselves, but they didn't want to identify with. And when people know they went there, I tell you, whosoever believeth in the Lord shall not be ashamed. I believe in Him. And I believe the people that ascribe to the belief that is in His Word, I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not ashamed of them. Because I believe them to profess the Word of God to be the truth and believe it literally. I believe that there's power in that belief. And I believe that without it, you're going to have a tough time walking with the Lord here through this sin-cursed world. May the Lord bless us to enter these things with confidence and to be just as the saints of the Lord that He was speaking about when He said, to as many as received them, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Amen. Amen.